It's Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, two lines, the last two very narrow lines. Okay. Gemara says the following. Pilpale, which are peppers, and this is not bell peppers, but black peppers. Rav Sheshes Amar Shahakol and Rava Amar Lo Klum. So Rav Sheshes says if you eat them, you make a shahakol, and Rava says you don't make any bracha. And you'll see in a second that the Gemara understands that this discussion is about dried peppers. So imagine peppercorns. I would not really try eating them. The thought of doing so, I don't know, makes me a little nauseous. It's a little bit sharp to eat raw pepper. I mean, just the texture and everything else, but the taste would be, woo. So Rava says you don't make any bracha. It's not edible. The Azda Rava Latame, Rava is consistent with his opinion. The Amar Rava, Kus Pilpale Biyoma de Kippure Potter. If a person chews on to be kus, kus usually refers to chewing on something that is not typically consumed in that state. So we've already seen, I think we've seen kus, koses esachita. If someone chews on a raw wheat kernel. So here someone is chewing on raw black pepper. I don't know if it's ever cooked, but I assume it's dried from the original berry. So kus pilpale biyoma de kippure potter. You're not chayiv because you're only chayiv on Yom Kippur for eating things that are considered roi lachila. If it's not roi lachila on Yom Kippur, so you're potter. You're exempt if you ate it. Well, you're asking, is it mutter? Is what you're asking. I don't think we assume that it's mutter. I think we still assume you're not supposed to do it, you know, midrabanan. But there are no actual consequences. Kos zangavila biyoma de kippure. If someone chews on ginger on Yom Kippur, potter also, that's what Rava said, because raw ginger is not considered edible. So now the Gemara asks, Meisive, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mimashva Shenemar, V'araltem Orla Soes Priyo. Rabbi Meir quotes the pasuk from Orla, and the Torah says, Kisavala Aretz Unitatem Koleitz Machol. You plant a fruit tree. And then it says, V'araltem Orla Soes Priyo. You should make its fruits orla. You can't consume it. You have to separate from it. So the question Rabbi Meir asks is, Matal melomar eitz machal. I'm sorry. Any odeh mimash v'shenemar va'araltem orla soes priyo. Any odeh she eitz machalhu. If the Torah is going to tell you va'araltem orla soes priyo, there's no need to tell you unutatem kol eitz machal. Just say unutatem kol eitz. You plant any tree, because if the Torah is about to tell you that you're not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree, well, guess what? If the tree is not a fruit-bearing tree, obviously this pasuk isn't relevant. So why does the Torah feel the need to say, once it's going to say va'araltem orla soes priyo, why does it have to say kol eitz machal? So, lahavi eitz, to elamato melama eitz machal, lahavi eitz shatam eitz of per yashava. A tree who the flavor of its wood and its fruit are the same. Ve'ezehu, what tree is this? Zeha pilpalim. This is pepper. Now, I don't know anything about the wood of the pepper bush or whatever exactly it grows on. So, Zapopalin, La Medcha, and this teaches you, Shapopalin Chayavin Ba'orla, that you're obligated to observe the laws of Orla with respect to peppers. Ula Medcha She'in Eretz Yisrael Chaseira Klum. That Eretz Yisrael is missing nothing. Shenemar Eretz Asher Lova Minisginus Tocham Balechem, Lo Sechsar Koba. A land in which, with not in poverty, you will eat bread, and you will be lacking nothing in it. Now, before we, let me just tell you, the question the Gemara is obviously asking is, if the Torah is speaking in praise of the peppers, if it's a fruit, if it's liable for orla, so why do you have to make a bracha? Obviously, it's edible. The Gemara is going to answer that question, talking about the manner in which it's eaten. But the price itself is a little bit surprising. I remember when I taught this probably 15 plus years ago, I didn't understand then either. Peppers do not grow in Eretz Yisrael. The peppers grow in India. It has never been in the range of where the pepper, whatever it is, a pepper tree grows. So I don't understand this, Gemara. If it were, you know, I just occurred to me as I was reading, I've known this question for years and without an answer. And I was just hit me as I was reading this now, but I don't think it really answers the question. Perhaps it's not that the tree, it's not that Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything because it grows in Eretz Yisrael, but because of its proximity to India, you're able to get the spices. Obviously, by the time of the Gemara, the spices were being imported from India. That was, at least, I don't know if it's true, but that's what I learned in elementary school, that the whole purpose of exploring, trying to find a westward route to India was precisely because the Genoans had controlled the spice trade, and they had a lock on it, and other European countries wanted to find another way to get the spices by cutting out the middleman. So they tried going the other way. So in that sense, Eretz Yisrael obviously already had relatively easy access to this, and it's not surprising. It's an overland route, which is not terribly far. But it sounds in the Gemara that this is actually something that grows in Eretz Yisrael, particularly because it invokes the concept of Orla with respect to the pepper. And even if one wants to say that, yes, the laws of Orla do apply outside of the land of Israel, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, presumably the Pasuk is not going to be mentioning it, right? The Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai generally is, strictly speaking, totally divorced from Torah Shebichtav. So any interpretation here, the Eitz Machol and Aral Tema Sofriyo, I presume refers to an Orla of something that is growing in the land of Israel. And I don't really know how to explain this, Gemara, because I'm pretty sure that peppers do not grow, bell peppers, I know, are grown in, it used to be grown in the Gaza Strip. I'm sure they're grown in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they're exported. But the peppers, the spice peppers do not grow in the land of Israel. So I don't really understand this. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe whatever I might have read in the Wikipedia article is incorrect, and you would introduce this as Exhibit A. You see, obviously, peppers did grow. I can't, totally rule that out. Assuming the Brisa is of Eretz Yisrael provenance, which there are some Brises that may originate in Babel, but if this Brisa truly were a provenance of Eretz Yisrael, I would say if it were found in the Yerushalmi, then I would revisit my Wikipedia entry. But I just don't know what to do with this, because I'm under the impression that because of climate or whatever else, that those don't grow in the land of Israel. So be that as it may.
Rabbi Weider, could you try turning off video? That may be better.
Turning off?
Turning off the video.
Okay.
It will lessen the load on the internet.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the Gemara responds to this challenge, this contradiction between between Rava's statement and the Brisa, Rava who said that if you eat pepper on Yom Kippur, you are exempt, and the Brisa which says that pepper is a food, and it's chayv and orla. So the Gemara answers five lines before they get very wide. Lokasha habiriti vasa habidyabeshta. It depends whether the peppers have been dried out or whether the peppers are moist. Obviously, if they're dried out, they're not edible in that state. If they're still hydrated or have been rehydrated, I don't know that anybody would do that. So then the pepper would be would you make a bracha? And according to Rav Sheshes, we don't know what the bracha is according to Rava. We just presume you would make a bracha. The next statement and the question is, what is the bracha? So, but before we talk about what the bracha is, let's just read a little further. It's actually a debate what the bracha is. So now the Gemara continues. Amri le Rabbanan le Mereimar. The Rabbanan said to Mereimar, Kosadan Gavila Biyoma de Kippuri Pater. So that's what Rava had said, that if you chew ginger, raw ginger, on Yom Kippur, you are exempt because it's not considered edible. So the Gemara says, is that really, how can, the Talmidim asked, the Rabbanan asked, Va'amar Rava, Hai ha milta da asai mi behin due, Sharia. This concoction, I know there's got to be a better term for it, the Rishonim referred to it as a mirkacha, something that has been sort of ground up, spiced, and I don't know what the word for that is, but some type of a preparation. This hamilta, which is made from ginger, which comes from India, it is permitted. Umubarachina le bore peri ho adama. You make hadama hamilta. So you're eating ginger, and you make hadama, not no bracha. And the Gemara's answer, once again, is lokasha habiriti vasa habiyaveshta. Depends upon whether or not it is moist or whether or not it is dry. So now the question is, what bracha do you make on the pepper when it is moist? On the ginger, the Gemara says you make borei pri ha'adama, but I believe that ginger is a root that is grown underground, so that's obviously going to be pri ha'adama. But what about the pepper? Now, based upon the Gemara, one would expect that the pepper would be a borei pri ha'etz because it's being described as a tree, growing on a tree, subject to the rules of Arla. That's what one would expect. So take a look in Tosos here. We have some very interesting things. Tosas Dibur Hamaskil Beretiva, it's the second Tosas from the bottom, says, Kigon Lituaru Bilaz, Mivarachan Alea Boya Priyadama. That is this ginger. Avo Yabeshta Loma Varachinin Alea. On dry, you don't make any bracha. Vechain Halacha Bezan Gavila Shekorin Zinzabru. I feel that should be like gingerbread, but it's not bread. So the same thing, this other thing made from ginger, similarly you make Adama. Vechain, and I do not know what this is. Kalu Shal Gufali Shein Regilim Lechol Ala Bretiva. You would only, whatever this thing is, you would only make a bracha on it if it were moist. Kigon Belituaru. Same thing. So Ein Mevarchan Alea Kal Biyabeshta. You do not make a bracha dry. Aval eats shel kinamon shekorin kanila, which is cinnamon. So in that case, mevarchan alea borei pri ha'adama, you do make a borei pri ha'adama mnei shiregilim le'ochlo biyovesh, because people do eat it dry. And I don't know if it means they chewed on cinnamon sticks. I kind of, maybe that could be possible. It does sound kind of yummy. And the gam hu godel ala aretz kimo kanin. So this is not correct. Tosis is right about the din fundamentally, but the metzias that Tosis is describing is not the case. Cinnamon is not grow like stalks from the ground. Cinnamon is the inner bark of a number of species of tree. Now, because it's not a fruit, the bracha should be, if it's normally eaten and it grows from the ground, but it's not the fruit of the tree, it should be hadama. So it's the correct, it is in principle the correct din, but his description of how it grows as kanim, which we would say are canes, you make a borei pri hadama on it. And then Tosa says, here it gets fun, the al tsukaru, otherwise known as sugar, mevarchin merchinan borei pri ha'etz. Tosa says, you make a borei pri ha'etz. Lenny is puzzled by this. Sugar cane is a grass, not a tree. Tosis says, ki ya'ari im divshi, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, achalti ya'ari im divshi, ze tsukaru. And finally, the ego shekoin muskadu, mevarchin bori priyeit, shegam noam lechalo sobiyovesh. So there's some type of a walnut, I don't know what this is, muscat sounds like walnut, which you make a bori priyeit, because people would eat that dry as well. Now, obviously, this is a very interesting discovery you have with respect to sugar. You didn't know you make a borei pri eitz on sugar. Now, not everybody agrees to this. There are three opinions about sugar. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just a comment about what sugar is, other than, I would say, a class one toxin. How is sugar made? How is sugar made? So, sugar grows with these stalks. And they can grow very, very tall. They are harvested, and they are then processed. The way they're processed is they're cut open, and they are squeezed to produce a juice, and that juice is extremely concentrated sucrose, and then that juice is further processed. It's purified, it's processed, and eventually it's dried. And becomes granulated sugar. That's how sugar from sugar cane is made. The other major source of sugar is from sugar beets. I think that grows in colder climates. Sugar cane actually originates in the Eastern Hemisphere, I think, in Southeast Asia. We tend to think of it as a Caribbean thing. That's because they found a climate that was very suitable and somehow managed to find a very cheap source of labor known as slavery. And so that's why the Western Hemisphere became a major sugar-growing location. But fundamentally speaking, it's an old world crop.
So if you squeeze it to get the liquid, what then becomes granular? If you dry liquid, is it actually?
It's not a pure liquid. There's a lot of solids in it, but it's right. Think about milk. Right? You turn milk into a powder. You can, you know, unless it's water, you know, you evaporate water and you have nothing. But evaporate most other things, you're going to wind up whatever the substance on the inside is. I forgot and I would have had to remember last week, but years ago when I taught brachos, so a couple of my students went around to one of the stores in the Heights because it's culturally common there. They like to chew on sugar cane. And basically you get the stalk, you sort of cut it, and then you suck on it, and it's, guess what? It's sweet. So that's how...
Sucking is considered
Yeah, yeah. So if I were to get that sugar, what's that?
Chewing tobacco.
Oh, and then you spit it out. I mean, you're getting the juice out of it. It would be the same thing, probably. Yes.
A number of years ago, Rabbi Kevner told me that on Tisha B'Av, I'm working and I'm afraid I don't want my breath to stop there, that I can chew on cinnamon sticks on Tisha B'Av with no bracha. And I think that's what Mr. Bergman said.
So I don't know. I don't know what the conclusion is about this line in Tosfos. So that, you know, that assumes, the question is if you don't swallow it.
Right.
So maybe that's what his assumption was, that if you're not swallowing it. So I don't know why. If the question is, do people normally, I don't know if people chew on cinnamon sticks anymore. I don't know. We'll have to dig down a little bit on this particular piece.
Available in the grocery store.
Yeah, that you can get. Sugar cane, you're not going to find, I think, typically in the grocery store in the fruits and vegetables item. But you go to the Heights, you know, in a large Dominican community, it's very easy to find sugar cane, the raw sugar cane. So, yes, I think when we are finished with this parak, we will have to have a special dinner and bring in all the foods, and that should be the plan. So, okay, so Tosa says that sugar is ha'etz, even though, you know, the medrash achalti, the sometime medrash, achalti ya'arim b'shi, I've eaten my forest with my honey, as if some sweet substance that's coming out of that. Now, if you take a look in the Rif, so turn to the back, and I want to just take a brief look at the Rif in Rabbeinu Yonah here. So there are a couple of issues that arise. So let me see if I can figure out where it is in mine and where it is in yours. So I have a slightly different printing. It should be on Chaf Hei Amud Beis towards the end. And the Rif says Pilpale. I don't where exactly it's on your page, but the Rif says Pilpale Ritivasa Bore Pri Hadama Viyabeshta Velafkulakum. Okay, so the first wide line in the Rif on Chafei Amud Beis, Pilpale Ritivasa, moist peppers, Bore Pri Hadama Viyabeshta Velokum, Vilavuchlahu, dried, you don't make any bracha because it's not food. B'chein zan gevila retivasa, moist ginger, mevarech ala bar pri adama, v'yabesh tavalokom. The only difficulty with the Rif here, which Rabbeinu Yonah immediately jumps in, is why does the Rif say you make a bar pri adama? So if you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, the Dibur HaMaschil is pilpale retivasa. I assume it's marked big. Lenny, is it there? Okay. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Pilpale retivasa bare pri adama viyabesh tavalokom. Zeu lushon arifsal, v'chein kaswa gaon mazal v'eino nachon. It's not correct. You don't make ha'adama. She befeirish nira bigamara, the pilpale retivasa mevarach bare pri ha'etz. Moist pepper and moist ginger have in common that you don't make no bracha, you make the appropriate bracha. But the appropriate bracha for those two is not the same because they grow differently. So he says that you make a bare pri ha'etz, the makshin hasa me ha'adaminan, Apilpalin chayam ba'orla. The chihechi shehem priha eats la'inyan orla, who hadinami la'inyan bracha. If pilpale, moist peppers, are considered a fruit of the tree for the purpose of orla, then they also are borei priha eats. The ein din hazan gibil vahapilpel shava elabia beshta. Their din is only identical when they're both dry. She'enum avarech aleim klal. Then you make no bracha. No bracha, no bracha is the same for both. Aval beritivasa al hazan gibila borei priha dama the al hapilpalim. Okay. Then, if you skipped down to Dibur HaMaschil Umir Kachas. Okay, that's further down on the page, near the bottom, close to the bottom of Chafei Amud Beis. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following, Umir Kachas Shemeviyin Mimekomos Acheros, somebody brings a mirkachas, some type of concoction from some other place, and you're not sure whether it's pri adama or pri eitz. So mevarchin alav misafek bari pri adama shelo shafilu sheye pri eitz yatsa ditzan birech apiris ilim bari pri adama yatsa. So you make a bari pri adama if you're not sure, because bari pri adama is a bracha that includes bari pri eitz within it. Now, of course, what the astute observer might be wondering here is, hey, wait, where's the hashgacha? Where's the hashgacha? So, now, modern food production is much more complicated than once upon a time it was. The assumption that Chazal worked with as a general rule is that if a particular food was normally made in a certain way where it did not involve treif ingredients, that assumption, combined with the assumption that stam kelim shel nachem are not ben yomon, that most kelim are not a ben yomo, Chazal assumed that it was permissible to eat these things unless there was a specific reason to be concerned, a specific problem, either something that normally had a non-kosher ingredient, which most typically would have been wine, or something which could have a problem of bishul achim. But you'll notice here, I couldn't imagine today anybody, you know, you go into the bodega and they have some mirkachas, however you want to translate that, and, oh yeah, sure, I'll have some of that mirkachas today. It's like, where's the hashgacha? So again, some of it is our mishagas, some of it is because food processing has gotten more complicated. Are not b'nei yomon. They haven't been used in the last 24 hours. We did this on Avodah Zarah, a fair amount.
Yeah.
So, and a kli that hasn't been used for 24 hours, generally speaking, although the Ran will talk about this here, generally speaking, if you cook something in it, the assumption is that any flavor that is retained from the pot that goes into the food is no same ta'am lefgam. It has a detrimental flavor, and therefore it will not render it prohibited. The interesting thing is that the one exception to that rule is things that are very sharp. And the only case the Gemara explicitly has is asafoetida, which is some type of I think it's a root. It's used in like Indian cuisine and Persian cuisine. It's awfully pungent. It's really used for digestive purposes. And that the Gemara said that if you cut at chiltis, it's called. If you cut chiltis with a knife, even though the knife is not a ben yomo, it hasn't been used in 24 hours. If the knife would cut treif stuff, the asafoetida has the effect not only of extracting the absorptions or whatever, wherever it's coming from, on the knife, in the knife, but also of turning that nosein ta'am lefgam into something that's considered edible and therefore would be a problem. That's why we're stringent when you cut, let's say, with a fleshing knife, you chop an onion, there are rishonim who say, oh, this law applies to any davar harif, any very sharp food, even though asafoetida and, let's say, the onion family are very different kinds of tastes. The asafoetida isn't sharp, it's just pungent. Yes.
I'm sure I'm misremembering, but 3 years ago, we had a discussion about asafoetida. Was that the one that ends up being childeh?
What?
Or was that not?
Well, what do you say? The word for it is chiltis.
Ah, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm remembering. We discussed this several years ago.
Yes.
Childeh is also Fenugreek, which is used in a lot of Israeli soups. It's like a very sharp...
What, you mean in modern Hebrew, chiltis is Fenugreek?
You know what? I'll look it up.
I know what fenugreek is, but I have to remember what's the Hebrew. Well, I know.
Fenugreek is childeh, which is a white powder you mix with water and forms a very, very, very thick paste. And then you use it in very small quantities in stews and soups.
So I don't think that's the word in rabbinic. I know there's a word for fenugreek in rabbinic Hebrew. But it's not childeh, it's something else. I don't know, modern Hebrew might be different, but anyway, if you told me the Hebrew term, I would translate it to you as fenugreek, even though I really don't know what fenugreek is. But I know there is a term for that, I just don't remember what it is. I can't work backwards. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. He continues, he says, V'yesh shehen choshishim v'osrin, v'mneshem v'vashim l'rosam b'kelem shel isr, because they cook them in treif kelem. The afal pishastam klei nachrim einam b'nei yomon, even though we usually operate, or they did operate with the assumption that most non-Jews, kelim, were not used within the last 24 hours, and therefore what you should have said is the hatam shenosnim hakelim b'davar, any flavor that the kelim would emit into the, whatever you, the concoction, the mirkachas, have a tam lefgam, the nosein tam lefgam is mutter, it would be a detrimental flavor, not an enhancing flavor, and therefore it should be permitted. Bekan ein hatam pogem ela mashpiach shatam ha'isur mamtikoso. The claim is that here it will actually, in the isur flavor that will come out, will actually be good. It literally means sweet, but it means pleasant. But Rabbeinu Yonah says ve'in zanira devadai no seintam lefgam have. It is for sure no seintam lefgam. She'oso hamesikus mevatel hacharifus shebo. The anything that comes out of the kelim has the effect of blunting the sharpness in the food, the shebach hamirkachas hu hacharifus. What's good about these mirkachas is the sharpness. And therefore, if the impact of their kelim is to dull that sharpness, havalei hakli shel iser nosein tam lefgam bemirkachas v'kaimelan de nosein tam lefgam, kevan she'en shama mashas ha'iser mutter. Since there's no actual extant iser that you can sense, it's only the flavor, and since the flavor has a negative impact upon the food, it is permissible. And then he quotes one other proof against that, the odye shlistor divrehem. You can also show that they're wrong. Mehadam rinan hacha, haihu malta da asya mebehim doi, sharia. This ginger concoction that comes from India is permitted. Right? The Gemara doesn't say, well, it's mutter because this, but it's also because that. The Gemara says it's permissible, and they make it in, obviously, their own vessels, and therefore you see that these mirkachot, are not any problem. He continues. The Kasur Rabbeinu Tzarfasal, the Balei Atosos, wrote, the Chihechi Damrina Bepipalan Ubezan Gavila, the Abeshta Veloklon, just as you make no bracha on dried pepper, or dry ginger, who are the nami kol kayotze behem shem regilun la'ochlam chayim el al-arva mishar dvarim. It's true that anything that you don't normally eat alone, which are most spices, you take them out of the cabinet to consume them, you would not make a bracha on them because people don't eat them that way. Aval al-ego shekorin muskata mevarech bori pri ha'etz. You make ha'etz on this walnut. V'al hakoneh shekorim kanila on cinnamon near levarech bari pri adama. V'chol osam sheyaduim shehim pri eitz. Those things that you know are the fruit of the tree. Mivarech aleim bari pri ha'etz. V'she'eno pri eitz, if you know it's not the actual fruit of the tree. Mivarech aleim bari pri adama. V'oso she'eno yaduim mivarech alav shahakol. You're not really sure what it is. I don't know, if you ask me, if I wasn't sure what it is, I probably wouldn't eat it. But if you're not sure what it is, but you want to eat it, you make a shahakol, the chaim perish rabbeinu chanan osal. And now here's the last part.
Something that you would eat, that people eat.
People eat, but you don't know what the exact ingredients are. You're not sure it's bari pri, it's bari pri adama, something else.
Because we have another piece of this, is that it's not even considered food.
No, correct. It has to be edible, but you have no idea what it is. So
even though somebody's eating it, we don't consider it edible.
Well, no, it is. The point is you make a shahakol.
We have another category.
Correct. Well, correct. Right, because there is a concept of batla daito leitzo kaladam. Sometimes the response is that you don't bring a raya because of what... There is nothing in this world that there isn't somebody who does, even though the rest of the world would be repulsed by it. Yes. Well, no, Larry, the difference is now we all know about it, and then we get imitators because of TikTok. But I think that's the primary difference. The world has always had crazy people. We just never knew about it. The internet allows us to know. You know what's that? Okay. So if you don't know, you know it's food because people eat it, but you're not sure what the ingredients are, then you make the shahakol. Okay. And now he says, v'alasukar mevarech bari pri hadama kemoshu balachos gedolos ad kan lashon hazal. You make a bari pri adama. Now, you'll notice that Tosfos had said bari pri ha'etz. Rabbeinu Yonah's girsa is bari pri adama, which makes more sense. And finally, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah thought. That's what he leaned towards saying. Amnam haramam zal kasav shal asukar enam avarech ela shahakal. Rabbeinu says you only make a shahakal on sugar. So if you take the handout, either the physical one here, or if you're online, the one that Lenny sent out, it's the same one. So the Rambam is at the bottom of the page. The Rambam writes the following: Hakanim hamasukim shesochatenoson umevashlim meimehem ad sheyikpe v'yid melamelach. The sweet grasses, reeds, canes, that they squeeze them out and they cook the water ad sheyikpe until it turns solid. V'yidna lemelach, and it looks a little like salt. Kol ha-ga'onim omrim shemavarchim ala borei pri ha-adama. All the ga'onim say you make a borei pri ha-adama. U'miktsasam amru borei pri ha-etz. V'chein amru shehamotzeitz osam kanim mevarech borei pri ha-adama. If you suck on the sugar cane, instead of producing granulated sugar with it, you also make a bari priyatama. Now that it seems like nobody disputes that you make a bari priyatama. At least he doesn't, the way the Rambam quotes it, it sounds like nobody argues on that point. Not that some people say you make a pri ha'etz. Va'ani omer she'ein ze pri ve'ein mevarchan alav ela shahako. He thinks that the sugar is not considered a pri, and therefore you only make a shahakel. Now, it's a little hard to understand the Rambam's position. I understand he's correct botanically. The sugar is not a pri. But if this is the way what people normally eat, at the very least, it should be very pri hadama. The criteria we've used until now, for example, in the Gemara, a couple of paragraphs earlier, when the Mishnayos talk about at what point can you no longer cut down a tree in the Shemitah year. Meaning, once the tree has produced fruits, you're not allowed to cut down a tree because you're being masid peirush shvius. Before a certain point, you're allowed to cut it down because it's not called a pri yet. When you look in the Gemara, and I think we'll see one case in the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that if it has not reached the full fruit stage, you make a bari pri adam on it, assuming people normally eat it. But you have to wait for the being considered a full pri in order to make a bari pri. So based upon what the Rambam is writing, it's true. He's 100% correct that the sugar should not be considered the pri of the sugar cane. But it shouldn't be any different than a korah for the dekel if people normally eat it. If people plant, if they have such a thing, if they plant palm trees and they harvest them like very soon just to get the hearts of palm, so you would make a bari pri hadama on that because that's why they planted the tree. But it's not the fruit of the tree. Because if it had been the fruit of the tree, you would have made a bari pri eitz. Now that it's something that you plant the tree for and it grows to the ground, except that it's not the pri, so you make a bari pri hadama. That's what one would expect. So it's a little hard to understand why the Rambam says shahakel. Now he just says shelo yied vash elu akanim, that the honey of these reeds should not be shenishtana yidei or, it shouldn't be any better gadol midvash tvarim shenishtana yidei or mevarchen alav shahakel. So here the Rambam is essentially offering his interpretation that it's like the juices of other fruits, which the Rambam claims you make a shahakel on. And that in itself is potentially a contentious issue. That's not a simple matter. That is our common practice, Lenny, but let me give you one example. I probably mentioned this before. I believe the Chazon Ish says that if you have orange juice made from juice oranges, meaning oranges that were planted for that purpose, you make a bari pri eitz on it. So there's a whole range of opinions we're going to see on daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. The Gemara says on Damash Tvarim, The Gemara says on Lamed Ches, if you want to look at it quickly, you can see the Dibur Maskel of Tosfos, the second Tosfos that starts on the page. Hay dusha de tamri mevarchan ali lave shahakol on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. So the dusha de tamri, which sounds like it's talking about the honey of dates, you make a shahakol on it. Tosfos is just quoting that one line in the Gemara. So this, what the Rambam says is not crazy. It's true, you make on date honey. The difference is that dates are generally not grown primarily for the honey. And some Rishonim say, I think the Ravid says, Dusha de Tamre is not honey. It's some byproduct of the honey, something else. So they're like at least four different opinions of Rishonim how to understand what's going on, what the principle is. So the Rambam is just comparing it, the date honey, the sugar to the date honey, and claiming it should be the same thing. But they're not necessarily analogous. Again, there are really two things. Number one is that the honey is the juice of the fruits. In the sugar, the sugar is the juice of the plant. We could have an argument whether that should make a difference or not, but more importantly, sugar cane is planted for the sugar, whereas the dates are not planted primarily for the honey. So that's why I suspect most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Okay. The bottom line is you can guess how we're going to pass the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to go there in a moment, but as you can imagine, when in doubt, we'll just make a shahakon. I've always thought it's somewhat relevant though. Not that I really eat them very much anymore. In fact, I don't know when the last time I eat them, but, you know, raisinettes. Sure. Very good, in my opinion. So basically, they're chocolate-coated raisins. So the raisins clearly should be barbeit. I believe that ramoshes is some way you're supposed to make two brachas on it. But I never really understood it.
Isn't that like the Reese's?
The peanut ones.
The peanut, yeah.
Yeah, so if you would ask me...
Rabbi Meir Salvation spoke about this a long time ago, and he said, take a bite out of the chocolate and take a bite out of it.
Yeah, so I, if you ask me, so I would say this is true in both of them. When it comes to the chocolate itself should be a bari pri eitz. if you had straight chocolate. And most milk chocolate has more sugar in it than it's cocoa in it. But I think that when you put everything together, when you put the chocolate and the raisins together, and according to some opinions that go in the sugar, all should be Boy Pre-8. I think on raisinets, if I were having something with just straight chocolate, I'd probably make a shahakal. If I'm having chocolate-covered raisins, I would just make eights on the entire thing, because al-pidin, the chocolate, and maybe even the sugar, although that's not as convincing, should be Boy Pre-8 in its own right. So certainly once you're putting it together, the idea that I'm going to take a bite at, and certainly when it comes to Reese's, you know, peanuts, so there, for sure, so the hadama would cover not only the peanut, it should cover the sugar, of course, every opinion in Rishonim mixed up with the Rambam, and the chocolate should certainly, a Bar Perdama would cover it, even though the chocolate itself might be more likely the Bar Perdama. So if I were having a Reese's peanut, chocolate-covered peanut, I would be making just the Bar Perdama. But there is such a position. I think Ramosha has something like that, that you make two brachas. To me, it's, you know, it's one thing that when you're having the sugar alone or the chocolate alone, you decide, well, say, kashakal. But once it's mixed with the others, at this point, you might as well the Iker Hadin. Okay.
Rabbi Leader?
Yes.
Two quick questions. One, just to backtrack to Yom Kippur for a minute, or Tishbev, I guess was your example. I know some people who will have Lister strips.
Who will have what?
I'm curious. Lister strips?
Oh, like Listerine.
No,
I understand, but it's the same. The content is Lister. It's the same, like content is Listerine. I understand. It's a strip. Correct. It's you're not drinking something. I understand that. So I think Rav Schechter assumes he recommends to people when they have to take medicine on Yom Kippur, if they can't swallow it straight, to use mouthwash because it's not considered roi lachila. They're going to the question: is it mutter? So. Normally, we wouldn't say it's okay to drink it. It's probably not very good for you either. But to have to drink a tiny amount of it so you can get the pill down, that's what he recommends. I think we assume it's not a problem on Yom Kippur. Yeah, Pachsmi Kashir is probably a... One more time. Pachsmi Kashir is Asumi Daraisa. It's just there's no malchus for it. Whereas Ochem Shenemim Achila is at most Asumi Darabana. So yeah, better to use... I'm sorry, but Marshall, go ahead.
Yeah, in other words, I understand that if you have to take medicine, it's preferable to use your half amount of Listerine.
Right.
I'm not sure, is that the same thing as a Hetzer, that it's totally fine to put Lister strips on your tongue on Yom Kippur because it's not Roy Lachila?
Well, it's not even, so I think, I can double check that. I think, like Rav Schechter assumes you can use mouthwash and spit it out. I believe that he permits those as well, but I could actually ask him if you want. I think I've heard that in the past. Because that's not even achila.
Got it. The second question is that I wasn't fun. I know that you are not a mumcha in junk food, but you kept referring to Reese's chocolate covered peanuts, which I don't know what that means. I assume that you mean.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I was thinking of M&Ms. I was thinking of the M&M covered peanuts. And you're correct. I have more vikis than you realize, but unfortunately,
I've seen you eat. I'm not buying it. So in other words. Peanut M&Ms, just because I actually am a mumcha in junk food, it's one of my key areas of expertise. So peanut M&Ms are a peanut, chocolate, and a candy shell.
Correct.
I don't think there's a way to call any of those things Iker, and so isn't the answer that that's shahakal?
No, so I my point is that the peanuts are definitely hadama, and the chocolate could be ha'eitz, and the sugar al-pidin should be hadama. Some go and say ha'eitz. So my argument is, once it's one thing if you're eating the chocolate separately, you'll make a shahakal, but when you're already having it with a peanut, it's supposed to be ha'adama, then I would only make, you know, I think, firstly, you run into a suffix, a brach shein atzricha. And even to eat a little piece of the chocolate first when you normally wouldn't do it that way, is still a brach shein atzricha. So I don't see what's gained by it. I mean, I think there's a much greater loss. Right. I think it's a great loss. Yes, Marshall.
Given the quantity of fillers and junk and corn syrup and the like in even the chocolate layer, I'm not sure how you come out that junky American mass-produced chocolate could ever be anything other than chocolate.
I would be surprised if the majority volume is not either corn syrup or sugar. And the, you know, the problem is that it's in the chocolate, it's not cocoa. Cocoa, unless you'll see if it's marked, you know, if you get the dark chocolate, it will tell you what percentage cocoa. But I would assume that the overwhelming majority there of those in the chocolate is hadam ingredients. Okay. you could research and find out and tell me that it's really, you know, 1% cocoa, 1% sugar, and 98% other junk fillers, and maybe we could reconsider. But
okay, the last question. But because 72% or 80% or 85% dark chocolate bar, which is whatever we should be eating in any event, that's ha'etz, right? Because that's a majority cocoa salad.
I think al pidinit should be ha'etz. I don't think that the minhag is that way. The minhag people probably make shahakol, but probably the right thing to do is probably make ha'etz. You're going to be, in this case, I'm sure you're going to be yotze either way. Is Dodmas definitely is Bari Priya. It's, my sense is that we have this minag, we like shahakal as the winning bracha because it covers everything. But so, correct. So if I were eating the chocolate straight, I would probably still make a shahakal. But once its core and a majority of its volume in some cases is the peanut, although that's, I'm not sure if it's truly the majority of the volume, then I'm already inclined to think it's time to just go with the bracha. That's really the correct bracha. So if I were eating that 85% chocolate, I would probably still make a shakal. I think you're yotze with ha'etz because it's probably the more correct bracha. But once I'm eating it with something that we all agree is, you know, ha'etz ha'adama, you know, the raisin, the peanut, I would go along with that. I would use that bracha. So.
Yeah, and the problem is with peanut oil, by the way, the ratio is not constant. Because there are different sizes, and so you actually have a dickens of the time.
You really are a bucky. You really are a bucky in junk food. Okay.
Okay, back to you.
All right. So, so now let's so,
let's
so
go back to the Yom Kippur question and Tishabov as well. That would be considered food.
Which would be considered?
If they're moist versus dry.
Correct. But that's because they're normally eaten. That way. In other words, on Yom Kippur, it goes from potter to chayiv. It becomes moist. Okay. So now let's take a look, a quick read through. I didn't give you the entire simon in Shulchan Aruch of Simon Reish Beis, Dino Peros, Dine Birchas Peros Ha'ilan. So I've given you almost all these are things that we've done either in the Gemara or in the Rishonim. So it's really just a review. Al Kol Peros Ha'ilan, Sif Aleph. Mevarich b'tchila bori pre'etz, chutz mehayayin shemevarich alav bori pre'hagofen. That was our Mishnah. The following details are not, we haven't seen yet. We will see them at some point later in the Masechta. Bein chai bein mevushal, whether the wine is mevushal or not. Chai means literally raw, it means uncooked here. Bein shu asui kunditon, which is sweetened. The hainu shenosne bo dvashu pilpulin. They put in honey and pepper. I don't know if you still find this somewhere today. I'm certainly not a connoisseur of wines, and I've never seen anything like this, but I imagine you can probably find this somewhere. It seems to me like the ancient equivalent of the modern, you know, cocktail with all the sugar in it. Then the Rama adds, V'misare v'yayin b'sheichar, if wine and beer get mixed together, as linan achare harov, you follow a majority, in harov yayin mevarech bori pre'agafen, for harov sheichar, the majority is beer, you make a shakal. Now, some of you, if you have a really good memory, and I'm not going to talk about it now because we already spent our time talking about it, will realize that this is actually an issue that came up. This we probably read this a long time ago when we spoke about sherry casks and whiskey. Because the question is, when wine mixes with something else, when does it lose its status of wine? There is a very unusual position in the Rishonim, but it's the way many Achronim Paskin, it appears to be, I think, the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, is that wine is batel in water at least, not in shishim, but in shisha, 1 in 6, which is why it's much more possible that, I'm not getting into the question, do you really taste the wine or not, but assuming the way we typically do in Kashrus, that the entire vessel has absorbed the Isser, and when you cook something in it, or you soak something in it, it pulls it all out. So you wouldn't need 60 times the volume of water corresponding to the walls of the vessel. You would only need 6. 60 is usually not going to happen. 6 might very well. You might have 6 times the whiskey in the barrel can get the volume of the barrel. And if wine, and assuming that the din of water and wine, that less than 1/6 is not wine anymore, and is not subject, the way Ramosha rules, the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to, it's not subject any of these surim of stamyin of yai nesef. So if that's the case, then it's much more possible for any wine that would come out of these sherry casks to be batel in the whiskey that's in it. So I believe it's on this. This is one of the sifrim that we actually looked at. For the moment, the Shulchan Aruch just says that for the bracha purposes, if you have a majority of wine, it's wine. If it's a majority of beer, it's beer. And the wine you make a bar fragafan, and the beer you make a shahakal. Sif beis haboser, which is a very early stage of the grape, and we saw this on the Gemara a few lines up from where we are now. Kolzman shelo higia lekipul halavan. If it hasn't reached the size of a white bean, mevarech halav borei pri ha'adama. You make ha'adama on it. Umishehu, but why? Well, because apparently people eat it, but it's not considered the priya, the normal priya of the grapevine. Therefore, you don't make a borei priya eitz on this early grape. You make a borei priya adama. Umishehu kipul halavan ve'elach. Once it reaches the stage of being the size of a white bean, and hence to forth, mevarech halav borei priya eitz. You make a borei priya eitz because now it is considered already a grape. Now the Mechaber continues, since we don't know what actually is the size of a white grape, you always make a bari priyadama until it's really big. I don't think this is a topic about our grapes in the supermarket. Those are that you make a bari priyaton. This is only speaking about one variety of grape. There are grapes, I forget what they're called, in the supermarket, you can buy sometimes the other. They're tiny, these grapes. Those are fully formed. They're just small grapes. So obviously the shear of pul halavan, whatever that shear is true when you're dealing with a grape that's not really mature yet. And so at least the grapes in Eretz Yisrael, that was the shear enough to be a bari priya eitz. But I don't think if you go into the supermarket, again, I forget what they're called, you don't say, oh, well, it's smaller than a pul halavan. I'm not sure if it's as big as a pul halavan. Therefore, I'll make ha'adama. No, you make ha'eitz on those. What's that? If it's fully ripe, yeah, that's fully ripe. Those are very, very clearly the pre-ha'its. Okay. Ushar kala'ilan, every other fruit tree, misha yotziu pri mevarachan alav. That was the brisa also, that all other trees, after they listed a few things, and the Rama will mention the other few things, once it gets past that stage, misha yotzi pri, then you make a bari pre-ha'its. Uvavad shelo yehimar o afutz biyoser. As long as it's not overly bitter, or a foots, I looked up this word, I think vinegary, I think is the word. I think that was the word that they used. If it's really so bitter, then you're not allowed, to the point that's really not even edible, even if you push yourself, then you don't make any bracha on it. And the Rama adds, "Ve'yish omrim l'dechal al charuvin ena mavarech bari pre'etz at yirik kemin b'hen kemin shar shiru shel charuvin." That was the brice. Also, ha'charuvin mishu yishar shiru, so they have to have these little strands. It looks like in them. V'chein b'zeisim at yigadal hanetz rivan by olives until the crown grows around. And v'kodem l'chein mavarech bari pre'adama v'chein ikar. So that's the principle of the Shulchan Aruch, which is if it's produce of the ground, which will eventually be the fruit, but it's not the fruit yet, you make a bari priya adama. Once it becomes the fruit, you make a bari priya eitz. Sif gimel. Garmine haperos. Imhe mesukim. If they are sweet, these seeds of fruits. Mevarech alem bari priya eitz. It's considered priya eitz. It's subject to orla, and as we mentioned a couple of shiurim ago, it's not even learned from esperio. It's not like the shomer, which really isn't a fruit, but because it protects the fruit, it has the status of orla. The garinim, the seeds inside, literally have the din of orla. They're considered priyates. But the imhem marim, if they are bitter, ein mevarech aleim klal. This, by the way, is from Tosus on Ira Amud. The im misakon al yedei ha'or. That's one that I think could easily be misread. It would almost mean the same thing. The im misakin, if you fix al yedei ha'or, but I don't think so. Misakon means if you sweeten them. Then mevarech aleihem, or probably mitkan. Mevarech aleim shahakol. If you sweeten them by cooking them or roasting them, then you make a shahakol. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me now. The Mishnah Berurah. I think the Mishnah Berurah challenges this. It's not clear why you would make a shahakol if you sweeten it, and that's the way it's eaten. Then it should once again become bari pri ha'etz. Does Tosus have it here? He doesn't talk about sweetening it, but if that's the normal way of eating it, you take this particular fruit, you have to process it this way, you have to roast it or cook it, and now it becomes edible, so that's the normal way of eating the fruit, and therefore it really should be ha'etz. sift out it. Shemen Zayis.
Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
You can see me. I can't see you for some reason. There's something wrong with my screen.
No. There's nothing wrong with your screen. I was asked to turn my video off because the link is people are having trouble. So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, all right. The Mishnah Brura does disagree. Harbe Achronim Hikshu Alze. The Da'atayhu L'Das HaMachaber V'Garinen Havi Kifri Gufa in Cain. Gambamorim umitkan ayudeze davar name mavarach alehem bori priyay.
Okay. All right. So they,
your recollection is correct.
Okay. Thank you. So that is consistent. That idea, even though Mechaber doesn't say it here, is consistent with what he wrote about, what he wrote about and will write about in Sif Hei. Let's read Sif Hei for a second. We'll skip over the Aleph 1-1. We'll come back to Hei. Shkedim hamorim. Almonds that are bitter, kashem ketan and mevorech bori prey eitz. When they're small, that's the only time they're edible. You make ha'eitz. Gedolim v'loklum dazuke maske. When they're large, they're damaging. In fact, I suspect that damaging might potentially be an understatement. The reason why almonds, wild almonds, are bitter is because they're poisonous, because they are filled with arsenic. Our almonds are the product of natural selection, of finding the sweet ones and then breeding them. But I think the same thing is true. Apples and almonds, if I'm not mistaken, are related. And apple seeds, I mean, a few apple seeds are not going to kill you. Apple seeds are also laced with arsenic. Lenny just gave that look. I think he's done eating apples. She's there. All right. So the Mechaber says that if they're large and then when they're bitter, that's not considered edible. V'taima the milsa k'shem katanim ikar achilasam hi aklipa vein amara. When they're small, the primary thing is, I guess, the seeds are small and it's the shell around the klipa. U'shem gedolim ikar achilasam mashem efnim humar. The primary thing that you're eating is the inside, it's bitter. V'misakan ayyedei ha'or o davar acher mevarech bari pri ha'itz. That if you sweeten them somehow, from mitkan, ayyedei or ayyedei davar acher, you make a bari pri ha'itz. So it's not clear why two seifim ago in Sif Gimel, he thought that by Garina Paris, which is the fruit, why he thought that would be, why you would make a shahakal. Okay. Sif Dalet. Shemen Zayis, and this we saw, this was the first Gemara we dealt with, the Lamed Hamed Beis at the bottom. Shemen Zayis, im shisao kemoshehu enim avarach alav kal, vishum dazuke mazik lo. If you take a cup of olive oil and drink it, you don't make a bracha, because it's mazik. Vim achalo impas, if you eat it with bread, enim avarach alav, you don't make, you dip your bread in olive oil, you don't make a bracha in the olive oil. Tapas ikar, again, the Gemara says that on the bottom of Lama Hamid Beis. Since the bread is the primary food, you make the bracha on that. You don't make any bracha on the olive oil. The im shisao me'urav im mei silka. If you drink the olive oil mixed in with this water of beets, the anigron, she'oz eno mazik, it's not bad. Adraba hu moel lagaron, it's good for your throat. Im uchoshesh begrona. It doesn't mean that you only make ha'etz when you choshesh begrono. This is a discussion. I think we assume it's moa legaron im choshesh begrono. It's good for your throat. If it's, so therefore, whatever you drink it, hava le shemen ikar mavarech ala bari pri ha'etz. I take that back. Ve'inim eskavim lerefu el lachila, hava le anigron ikar ve'inim mavarech el anigron. So you make a bracha, but in that case, the ikar is the anigron, is the mesilka, the beet water, and therefore you make a shahakal. I think that there was an opinion in Tosfos that disagreed with that. But maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says it all depends why you're drinking the anigron. It's either eitz or shahakal. The purpose of why you're drinking it determines what is the ikar and what is the primary part and what is the tafel. Okay. Then sivav, and we spend some time on our the caper. Slaf. The caperberry bush, ala olim v'al tamaros v'al kafrisin v'ri pri ha'adama, people eat them, but it's not the primary fruit. Va'al ha'avionos shehin ikara pri v'ri pri ha'etz. That was Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that when it comes to trumas and maestros, you only separate trumas and maestros on the avionos. And the Gemara in the conclusion said the fact that and orla only applies to the avionos. And the Gemara in the conclusion, which is not part of the Gemara, it's from the Gaonim. Gemara says that since with respect to Orla, it only applies to the Avionos, so the Bracha also follows that which is subject to Orla is the Bari Pre'etz, the Avionos, and everything else which is not subject to Orla is a borei pri ha'adama. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch rules. Sif tesvav, al hasukar mevarech shahakol, v'chein amotze itzkana mesukos shahakol, that is the position of the Rambam, that's the Shulchan Aruch rules. Al pilpal v'zan gevil yaveshim, v'al ha'klo shel gripoli, I know, it's very helpful, but Rama tells us negelach, but I have no idea what that is either. So on these, but it's conceptually similar to draw to pepper or ginger. When they are, well, it's understood here it's dry. The chol kayotze, but bazesh, ein derech la'ochlam eleyedei taruvos, ein mevarech alein klom. If you only eat pepper or ginger when it's mixed in with something else, so then you don't make any bracha on them. That's like dry ginger, dry pepper. Al egos moskat borei pre'et, al kanila and cinnamon borei pre'hadama, as Tosus quoted. And finally, sif yudches, al pilpol v'zangavel, kishahim retuvim borei pre'hadama. If the pepper or the ginger is moist, then you make a borei pre'hadama. That was the opinion of the Rif, perhaps the Rambam. I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah says anything here. Other Rishonim obviously disagreed and said that on the pepper you make a borei pre'et when it's moist. I've never heard anybody actually eating that, but I guess if somebody were, they would certainly would be yotze with a borei pri adama. And then the Rama concludes stating, "Kol ha'peiros she'odeya b'hem shem ikara pri." If you know that a particular fruit from the tree is the primary fruit, mevarech alam borei pri ha'adama. Excuse me. The she'eno ikara pri, if it grows from the tree and people eat it, but it's not the real fruit, borei pri adama. The imhu mesupakbo, if you're not sure, imhu ikara priolo, if it is the primary fruit or not, borei pri adama. Vim eno yodeya mahu mevarech shahako. This is a Torah quoting, probably Rabbi Yonah, his comments. Okay, so that is what we at least need to know for the moment, halacha lemaisa. Yes?
With soup, though, you have tomato soup or potato soup, that's borei pri adama.
The answer, I believe, is yes. The Gemara is going to talk about that. We will get to that. We haven't discussed yet. The Gemara calls mishlachos. That a vegetable broth, even if there's no vegetables left in it, if you strained it all out, the Gemara assumes it's borei pri adama. Oh, I've spoken about this a little bit. There's a machlokas, a whole machlokas about the equivalent by fruits. But the pashtus is by a fruit. If you do the same thing, if the way you make, I mean, most fruit soups I've eaten have a fruit in it. But if let's say you make a fruit, soup where the fruit, you remove the fruit, like a vegetable broth where you move the vegetables. So I think it's a machlokas of the pashtus is it should be borei pri, which means also that tea is meishlakos, it's hadama, tea should be hadama, and coffee should be ha'etz. However, the minhag seems to be that whenever you drink something as a beverage, Tosus I made reference to Duvsha on Ahai Duvsha the Tami and Amechasamal, Tosus is going to say there that there's no mock of what he says. The last four words in Tosus, the ode b'shtia omer shahakol. Drinking the beverage is shahakol. So I think so. That's why coffee and tea is a beverage. So that's why we make shahakol on them. Even though arguably, the coffee should really be ha'etz and tea should be shahakol. Ha'adama, by right? But the minhag is to make shahakol on it.